Bibles, please, to Ecclesiastes, the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1. I'm continuing our series of lessons on the science of the Christian life. This evening, I'm going to teach on the science of the best, the good, and the bad. The science of the best, the good, and the bad. Or me, Brother Colston, and Brother Jorgensen. You just got it. Open your Ecclesiastes, chapter 1. Verse number 12. I, the preacher, have you found Ecclesiastes yet? You sure are rattling the pages to a lot to have found it. Verse 12. I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. And I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sort availeth God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun. And behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Now look down to verse number 17. And I gave my heart to know wisdom, and to know madness and folly. I perceived that this also is vexation of spirit. Now my text verse is verse 18. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. That's very interesting. If that weren't in the Bible, I'd say it's not true. But it's in the Bible, so it is true. It, with much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. That's why I think all you young people ought to quit school and for 3 months. But anyway, I want to talk to you tonight about a very important subject, and I want you to listen as I teach on the science of the best, the good, and the bad. Our Heavenly Father, I want to be a help as always. I'm not always a help, but I always want to be a help. And I want to be that more than anything in the whole world. That's my great desire in life, to be a blessing to these people, especially to these here at First Baptist Church whom I love and try to lead. Bless our study tonight. Enrich our lives. Increase our being a blessing. Because we've studied tonight, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I don't want you to sit up straight. We've got to get going right quick. Like I've got to work about an hour's Bible study in here. I got to fit it into about an hour and 45 minutes. So you've got to listen very, very carefully. And you are going to have to follow me. But I promise you that what I'm going to teach tonight is one of the most needed things in the Christian life. I'm going to ask you. Turn this one on for me. I'm going to divide the platform tonight into three different areas. I'm going to let this side over here, let's just say from this microphone over here, represent area number one. I'm going to let from here to this microphone over here represent area number two. I'm going to let from here over to here represent area number three. Now, area number one, which starts over here, is going to be represent the best. Let's make that just starting right here over to here would be the best. And but this from here over represents the best. And from this microphone to this microphone right here represents the good. And from this microphone over here represents the bad. And nor does it represent the bad. It is the bad. But, all right. Then we have how many areas? Three. Anybody home? How many areas? Three. From here over is the? And from here, that microphone is the? And from here over there is the bad. All right. Now, these areas are found in every facet of life. Let's start off with my profession. There is what you'd call the best preaching. That's done by, modesty prevents me from finishing that statement. But I'm talking about over here is what you'd call real, real good preaching. It's the best preaching. Now, from here over to here is what you'd call good preaching. Now, this preaching in here, this preaching over here is doctrinally sound. This preaching over here uses proper grammar. This preaching over here knows how to outline a sermon. This preaching over here knows how to hold people's attention. And this preaching over here is preaching that is the best preaching. Let's just say that this preaching right here, let's name a few people. Let's just say Tom Malone. And I'll just use him because he's the first one I think about. But Tom Malone's sermons are always correct. They're always outlined properly. And he always relaxes the audience every few minutes. And so this is the best preaching over here. Now, this preaching right here in the middle is good preaching. It's preaching that is the truth, but it's sort of crude. The grammar is not real good. This preacher says, I have did something, or I done something, or I have saw, or I seen. This is Roy Moffat kind of preaching in here. But this is the kind of preaching that could be a little bit repulsive if we didn't watch it, but it's good preaching. This fellow right here, this group in here, maybe these preachers didn't get to go to Bible college. And worse than that, maybe they went to some Bible college other than Hiles Anderson. But this is good preaching right here. But it's not the best preaching. Maybe the outline is not proper, or maybe the emphasis is not right, or maybe the preacher doesn't know how to relax the audience occasionally and get their attention, but it is the truth. Now, over here is bad preaching. Over here is John MacArthur and Roberta Shuler and over here just plain old bad preaching. Now, not only preaching can be divided into these three areas, but as I mentioned a while ago, grammar can. Over here is proper English grammar. Now, I am disgusted because of what we've done to our English language in this generation. Our newspapers no longer use proper grammar. I believe the most important course taught at Hiles Anderson College is English grammar. Now, what does it mean? I think you say, how about Bible? A fellow's worth preaching is going to learn the Bible anyway. And I think Bible is very, 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 very important to be taught. But I think that more preachers will fail because of lack of decent grammar than because of lack of Bible. Because preachers that love God will study the Bible. Okay, here's proper grammar right here. Here's the best grammar right here. Now, here's good grammar. But this fellow, he'll dangle a participle or split an infinitive or hang a gerund every once in a while. And this is just good. Over here is bad grammar. I'm talking about vulgar words. I'm talking about curse words. And this is just plain old, this is wrong over here. All right? Over here is what? Best. And here is what? And here is what? Bad. All right? The same is true with other areas. Take fellowship with people. Over here is fellowship with good, godly, Christian people. Here is fellowship with the best people. But here, just the run-of-the-mill Christian, maybe a soul winner even. Maybe reads 10 verses a day, but that's about it in the Bible. Maybe he prays 2 or 3 minutes a day, but that's about all. Just good Christians. Over here, you got the bad Christians. You got those that play their rock music. You got those that watch their soap operas. You got those, well, basically the kind of people that are here tonight. Nobody's home here tonight, that's for sure. So, You got over here, you got the what? Best. And here you got the what? And over here you got the what? The bad. In other areas of life, it's the same way. Let's take the matter of music. Over here you got what is called good music. Now, for example, music such as bluegrass. Anybody home? But over here you got this what's considered a good music. I would call this music over here the best. In gospel music, I'd call it Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. I'd call it Come Thy Fount of Every Blessing, Tune My Heart to Sing Thy Praise. I'd call it Majestic Sweetness Sits Enthroned Upon the Savior's Brow. I'd call it Must Jesus Bear the Cross Alone and All the World Go Free. And oh, there's a cross for everyone. I'd call it Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. I'd call it What a Friend We Have in Jesus, All Our Sins and Griefs to Bear. To me, that is the best of gospel music. But now over here you go on number three, you got the bad. You got a gospel rock over here, and which is not fit for man nor beast. And then in here you have what we'll call the good gospel music. It's not the best, and it's not bad, but it is good. We're talking about, Dropkick Me Jesus to the Goalpost of Life? No, that's over here on this side, over here. We're talking about I'll Fly Away. Now, everybody knows we're not going to fly away. The rapture, we're not going to fly away. But that's nothing wrong with that. That's okay. And so that's good music. You'll find this in a lot of churches in the South and in the North, too. In fact, I find it up in Canada a great deal, even. I'd call this sometimes the gospel quartet music. We all know it's not as good. The words are not near as good as... Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care. That's the best. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our sorrows. Now, that's good. That's not the best. Well, I mean, the way it was sung was the best. The boy says that was bad. But now the truth is, there's no place in the Bible talks about having a little talk with Jesus. But a little talk with Jesus beats no talk with Jesus. But I like that first sweet hour of prayer. Didn't say sweet minute of prayer. Didn't say sweet 10 seconds of prayer. It said sweet hour of prayer. All right? So that's good. Best. And then I'll say this is good here. And then over here is gospel music or it's religious music that is bad. I'd put undesirable things such as the classics in church I'd put over here, such as anthem in church I'd put over here. But all right, now so we have the good and the best and the good and the bad. Then also the same thing's true concerning manners. Over here, you got proper manners. You hold your fork just right. You put one hand on the table, which is the dumbest thing anybody ever invented in my life. Anybody knows you eat faster with two hands than you can with one? And you put your stupid hand under the table and then chase those peas with a fork. And anybody knows you can get more peas with a spoon than you can with a fork. But we'll say that's good manners. And by the way, there's nothing in the Bible that says what good manners really are. And good manners are different in different countries. But I don't want to get that off my chest here. But here we have what we call good manners. We're talking about Emily Post. Emily Post was sitting in a banquet, and a lady beside her was a little worried, and she said, "Mrs. Post," she said, "would you tell me which salad I'm supposed to eat, please?" And Mrs. Post said, "Why, the one on your left, of course." She said, "Mrs. Post, then you just ate my salad." Now, this is Emily Post kind. The first time I told that, you laughed 40 years ago. But this is good manners. Now, here, these are best manners. Here are good manners. Let's go over here to the bad manners. That's when Ms. Hiles and I used to go out to country church every Sunday. We had eaten breakfast, and the pigs and chickens would be under the table. I think they were demonstrating because we're eating bacon and eggs, but actually, I've seen it. I've seen pigs under the table while we ate. Now, that's bad manners. Now, a pig on the table while we eat that's cooked is good manners. Now, in here, you got good manners. That's a person that's not gonna slurp, but he's not over here either. I mean, Emily Post is unknown to him, but these are acceptable. And I could call this area here acceptable. Here is the best, and here's the good, and there's the bad. Not only about manners, but the same thing is true about literature. There is some literature that is the best literature. Then there's literature that is acceptable. It's good. It's not the best. And then there's literature that is bad. It's unacceptable. Now follow me. In every area of life, you have these three. You have over here the what? Best. And you have right here the what? And you have right here the what? Bad. Now I'm going to call 1, 2, and 3. 1 is best. 2 is good. 3 is bad. Now when I say 1 now, I'm talking about best. When I say 2, I'm talking about good. When I say 3, I'm talking about bad. 1 is what? Best. 2 is what? 1 is what? And 2 is what? And 1 is what? And 3 is what? And so when I say those, that means 1, best, 2, good, 3, bad. Now I'm going to make 8 statements and then 8 suggestions. Statement number 1. In every area of life, both 1 and 2 are acceptable. 3 is not acceptable. But 1 and 2 in every area of life are acceptable. That means sweet hour of prayer and have a little talk with Jesus are acceptable. That means come by fount of every blessing and I'll fly away are acceptable. Now, anybody that knows anything about the Bible knows, come thy fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seat it. Seat it for thy courts above. Everybody knows anything about the Bible knows that that's better than, now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our trouble. Everybody knows that this is better than that. But this is not bad. That's one reason why I go to some churches and they'll sing, all hail the power of Jesus' name. That angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. I like that. But I go down to Bobby Robertson's church in Greenville, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and they'll sing a hoedown or two. I mean, and they never look at the choir director. He's up there waving his hand, but nobody would know him if they saw him on the street. I mean, never look at him. And they just, while they're singing, they just look around, you know, and they'll sing I'm glad Jesus came, glory to his name. Oh, what a friend is he. He so freely gave his own life to save. I got that old-time religion in my heart, way down inside. I got that. A while ago I was saying, come thy fount of every blessing. You didn't say a word. Now, I go down to Garvin Walls Church in the Tennessee, Oliver Springs, Tennessee. And his choir members take their children with them to the choir. If the wife sings soprano and the husband doesn't sing a lick, over in the soprano section, you got the wife and her husband and her kids. And nobody sings but the woman, and the husband's up there just so he can sit with his wife. And she might be singing a special, you know. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour. I'm not kidding you. That's the way it is. They take the kids to the choir. If one member of the family sings in the choir, they all sit in the choir. Now, that's not best. But it is good. And I can enjoy it. And when I go down there, and what they do, they sing just like Bob Robertson's choir sings. And I got up there, I was preaching down there a few weeks ago, and I got up and I said, choir, I'd like to introduce you to somebody. This is your director. You've never seen him before. But I go to some. I don't go to them, but you can go to some churches, and they won't sing any songs about Jesus. It's all high church ritual. The Lord is in your soul. That's bad. Because first place, unscriptural. The Lord is not in a building. The Lord is in our bodies. So, 1 and 2 are acceptable. That's the first thing. Second statement. Follow me carefully now. The more you learn to like 1, the less likely you are to enjoy 2. And when you do that, you limit your scope of enjoyment. And you're cheating yourself. Now, I want to say this. Some of you college students, you came to college, and you came from these good churches, but their music is not they don't sing come by fount of every blessing. They sing I'll fly away. Dust on the Bible, dust on God's holy word. You come from churches that they sing good stuff. But you come here, now watch what you, here's what happens. And brother, if it ever happens here, I'll close down the doors of Hiles Anderson College. We'll disband our college. We won't have a college any longer. Anytime you come here and because you learn some good music, you don't like the music back home, you'll be shipped home or we won't have any college anymore. We're not going to raise a bunch of snobs here and train a bunch of snobs and go back home to look down on the choir back home. Here's what we do. You come And you're used to number two, which is good. Ah, but you come and you learn it. You come to college and you learn the choir sings. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me. That consecrated cross I'll bear till death shall set me free. And then go home a crown to wear and wear a crown with thee. And that's wonderful. And if you don't watch out, you'll bring your scope of enjoyment of music from here over to here, and you'll only enjoy what's over here. And the truth is, you have traded number two for number one instead of adding number one to number two. I said, number one, both one and two are acceptable. I said, number two, the more you learn to like number one, the less likely you are to enjoy number two. Number three, if you only like one, you are robbing yourself. Now, let's take the matter of literature. When I first started traveling with Dr. John R. Rice, I was scared to death, literally scared to death. And then when I first spent a night in the same motel room with him, I took a nap that afternoon because I knew we'd have to read our Bible and pray for 3 hours before we went to bed. I knew that the great John Rice would probably, and I just didn't know how to pray for 3 hours before we went to bed. So I got ready for it. John Rice, time to go to bed, he crawls in bed. Doesn't even get his Bible. Doesn't even get it. Picks up a Zane Grey novel and begins to read a Zane Grey Western novel. I thought, my soul, I think I'll read one too. That's what I'd have read. Wait a minute. John R. Rice could come over here, if Shakespeare is number one, and I personally doubt if it is. Because somebody says good music is music. If it's written by queer, it's not good music for us, I'm concerned. But let's suppose that Dr. Rice can quote Shakespeare like you can quote Elvis Presley. Dr. Rice knows Shakespeare. I've seen him quote Shakespeare, especially Shakespeare in sonnets. And yet, there he is, reading a Zane Grey novel instead of the Bible before he goes to bed. I have flown on airplanes with John Rice. I've never seen him read his Bible. It's always a Zane Grey novel. You know why? Because Dr. Rice was smart enough to realize that as he learned to embrace more and more things that were, shall we say, of the better taste, he also learned that there's some area here where there's some good things that he can enjoy, and he didn't want to give up those good things. Now, really educated people are not just over here. They're snobbish people. But really educated people have learned to enjoy everything over here all the way over to here and leave over here alone. I said number one, I said both one and two are acceptable. I said number two, the more you like number one, the less likely you are to like number two. I said number three, if you only like number one, you're robbing yourself of richness in life. Number three, number four, if you only like number one, now listen carefully, you are limiting your opportunity to serve others. Because whether you like it or not, most people are right here. Let the choir sing next Sunday morning. Majestic sweetness sits enthroned upon the Savior's brow. His head with radiant glories crowned, his lips with grace overflow. Get that. Majestic sweetness sits enthroned upon the Savior's brow. Isn't that beautiful? Nobody's hollering. I sang Have a Talk with Jesus a while ago and you threw a head of spell. See there? There's the number two and a half back there. But I'm saying this. If you only like number one, you are going to miss the masses of society. That's why these universities, and some of them are fundamental and call themselves Christian universities, are trained a bunch of snobs. Because all they'll tell you that the good music your church back home sings is not good music. Now, I love the music over here. I love this, the old hymns and the great gospel songs. I love them. But I am not going to give up number two. Somebody said, I don't like that number two type music. Somebody else said, look, if you're going to say hallelujah, say it at the right time. Don't just, right in the middle of it. Some guy up there just ever wakes up every once in a while and says hallelujah and goes back to sleep. Somebody said, I don't like worms either, but fish do. Now, is it a sin to eat a worm? Not at all. It would not be a number one. It would not be a number three. So what's wrong with feeding them to a fish? Oh, come on. Somebody shut that guy up there. I'm serious about that. Say it at the right time or don't say it. Now follow me carefully. Here is the great mass of people over here, number two. If you limit yourself, for example, majestic sweetness sits enthroned upon the Savior's brow. Most people can't figure out what that means. You've got to develop a taste. And you've got to understand vocabulary. Now then, this crowd over here, you can understand, looking for a city. Or you can understand, let's see, there's a little pine log cabin waiting down in Welcome Valley. There's an open door, and when my Roman's o'er, I'm going back home. That's good stuff. There's a mother daily praying, waiting for my homeward straying to the little pine log cabin at the end of my dream. Dreams, dreams, dreams. Somewhere in there has that word dream. But now, wait a minute. I'm sorry, but there ain't no little pine log cabin in heaven. But there's nothing wrong with it. It's a good song. And I am not going to deprive myself of this good stuff here in number two because I have learned to like number one. Now listen carefully to me. I don't care if it's literature. I don't care if it's manners. I don't care if it's music. I don't care what it is. As long as this heart right here beats and these lungs breathe, we are not going to look down on people who are in the number two group. Not going to do it. Statement number five. If you only like number two, you're depriving yourself also. And bless God, I just like that old Southern gospel. Now, look. If those of us who are intellectual, if those of us, I'm Jorgensen over here, he's intellectual. If those of us who prefer Sweet Hour of Prayer, must Jesus bear the cross alone? The song you sang a while ago, what was it? Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If the world from you withhold of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, just remember in his word how he feeds the little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Now that's my favorite. But I'm not going to deprive myself of, I'll fly away, old glory. I'm going to enjoy that too. But here's what happens. You folks that just enjoy number two, you want people that enjoy number one the most to come over here and embrace yours, and you come over here and embrace ours. See? I mean, just as the snob over here is depriving himself of enjoying this that is good, even so the fellow that's enjoying just the good is depriving himself of some of the most beautiful poems ever written, most beautiful songs ever written. And by the way, it wouldn't hurt some of you folks, some of us in number two, to learn good manners in case we ever got around some people that knew how to use them. Statement number six. Number seven. I'll read them again. Number one was both one and two are acceptable. Number two, the more you learn to like number one, the less likely you are to enjoy number two. Number three, if you only like number one, you're robbing yourself. Number four, if you like number one, you're limiting your opportunities to serve and help others. Number five, if you only like number two, you're depriving yourself. Number six, if you only like number one, you're depriving yourself. Number seven, if you only like number one, get this now carefully. If you only like number one, you may be tempted to be a snob and look down on folks that like number two. And there's nothing worse than a snob. Nothing. There's nothing worse than people that think they're better than somebody else. Number 8. If you hear this carefully, if you only like number 2, you may be more tempted by number 3 than you would be if you liked 1 and 2. If you limit yourself in any area of life, whether it's manners, whether it's fellowship, whether it's literature, whether it's music, if you limit yourself to this little section right here and do not increase yourself to where you can enjoy 1 and 2, you'll be more tempted to go over here and do things that are bad. Hear me carefully. The person who lacks amazing grace is not as likely to lack rock, religious rock, as a person that lacks I'll Fly Away. Now that means you folks over here shouldn't spend all your time preaching against folks over here. But you folks over here should learn to appreciate what's over here. Because if you appreciate what's over here, and number 1 and number 2, you're a lot less likely to be tempted by number 3. Lacking number 1 is an insurance against being tempted by number 3. Suggestions. Now that those are 8 observations, not 8 suggestions. 1, do not trade 2 for 1. If you prefer this area here, not just music now and everything, if you prefer this area right here, I'm talking about preaching. You heard me tell about the preacher I heard one time preaching a funeral message. Point number 1, he said, and you know the guys that suck wind. Point number 1, point number 2. Point number 1 was, the funeral sermon was for a preacher named Archie Denton. Point number 1, he said, Archie, believe something. Point number 2, he said, Archie, preach something. Point number 3, he said, Archie, done something. Now, you're not smart enough to know what that's wrong. But that's horrible grammar. I heard a preacher preach the other day that never read a scripture. I thought he was still in his introduction when he gave the invitation. Didn't have an outline. I'll tell you what he did. It sure was good what he said. He said, he started listing stuff. I'm against drinking. I'm against dancing. I'm against rock music. Then he took off on something else. I'm against formality. I'm a pre-tribulation rapture. He just listed everything he believed in no order at all. It was definitely number 2. Now, I had a sermon that was prepared and was properly prepared, and it was number 1 sermon. But I sat out there and enjoyed the fire out of his number 2 sermon. And by the way, his number 2 sermon out-preached my number 1 sermon. Observation, suggestion, do not trade number 2 for number 1. Add 1 to number 2. Number 2, use number 1 and number 2 in your preaching. There are times when, hey, look, what I'm doing right now. Do you know what kind of teaching this is right here? This is number 2 teaching I'm doing tonight. You know why? To get down on the level with you carnal people. But if I stayed over here and just did number 1 teaching, you'd be asleep right now. So use number 1, depth, truth, but use number 2 also. Because most of your people can understand number 2 preaching than number 1 preaching. Suggestion number 3, use 1 and 2 in your church music. Use 1 and 2 in your church music. People over here. People over here. Use both of them. And enjoy them both. Don't. You know, Ms. Howells and I could go home. And I might say, boy, that's a good special. And she might say, my soul, Chris Stansel was flat during that whole song. Well, Chris Stansel never flat, but... But... I don't know enough music not to enjoy it. That's what that verse means. I know some people that don't... See, I can enjoy some music she can't enjoy. Because to me, singing flat is the best. That's the way I sing. I have a hard time. I have to make myself enjoy certain kinds of preaching because I know something about preaching. But I come over here and, brother, let me have a good old-fashioned wind sucker... preaching down south. You got to get born again. How you do that? I can't do it very well. You heard him. Now, you know why we're having a good time right now? Because I'm right here in this part right here right now. Let me go over here. In the Hebrew, it says, exegetically, hermeneutically, apologetically. Now, the truth is, what I do, I take number one truth, wrap it in number two vehicle, and transport it to you so you can understand it in number two language, so you can take it back over here and know the truths of the Bible in number one. I'm teaching stuff tonight that guys over at Moody Institute haven't got enough sense to know. The way you're a good teacher if nobody can understand you. You're the teacher type. No, you're not. You're the dead type. I'm saying let's learn to enjoy. I remember, not much, but I remember when I was a boy, we got a new music director. He came and told our old Southern choir they're going to learn the Messiah. We called the Messiah. Remember that? And J.T. Sizemore taught our choir the Messiah. I can still hear old Hoot Gibson up in the choir saying, the more I hear this, better I like Stance Baxter. I think Miss Hiles may have had a solo part in that thing. And she never did straighten out that crooked part. Get straight. And I thought that's the worst thing I've heard in my life. And they didn't use good grammar. Well, what's that song with that you two syllable word, one syllable word? Huh? Amen. Yeah. But you know what? I crossed over there, number one, and I learned to like the Messiah. There is never a Christmas that I don't listen to the Messiah, either on tape or on the radio. I love it. I love it. Now, if those of us hillbillies can go over here and like the Messiah, then you come over here and like what we growed up with too. You are cheating yourself, first place, of character. Second place, of blessing. Third place, of a chance to reach people. If you do not utilize the best and the good, and of course, leave the bad alone. Next suggestion, use number one and two in grammar. I just used the number two a while ago in grammar. You knew that I knew I was making a mistake. I have did that many times in my preaching. You don't even know I'm making a mistake now. Number five, use number one and two in teaching. Six, number one should never be critical of number two. Seven, number two should never be critical of number one. And eight, learn to enjoy both. Does anybody know that song? You tend to know that song I sang a while ago. I tried to. I'm glad Jesus came. Glory to his name. I got that old-time religion in my heart. You know that? Can you sing, that start the, I got that old-time religion in my heart, and whang it like Southern.
I've got that old-time religion in my heart. It is now way down inside. I've got that. Can't think of the next line.
I was pastor in Garland, Texas. I'd just gotten through the college. I'd been to the seminary. And I was over here in number one, doing this to number two. A fellow named Billy Rosenbaum brought a quartet to our church, and they were going to sing. Jim Lyons recommended them. In fact, Jim Lyons did it. And I heard them practicing in a classroom, and they were singing that song. They had a high tenor way up there. Way, way up there. Like Flesher sings that real high tenor. Way up there, that sissy tenor. And I got that old time boy. And they were. And I said, would you get take this guy over here and go out and guard the cars for us? Listen. Folks, I got to think of a sad story so I can close this Bible study. I had been My college and seminary had moved me over here. Now, not too bad. Not too bad. Now, follow me carefully. When I was a boy before I went to college, I was right here. And then I heard the Messiah. Eek. And then I learned to like it. And in college and seminary, I moved over here. And I learned to like this better. And this is best. But then when I heard a quartet singing, I got that old-time religion in my heart. Oh, my soul. I had to come back over here and realize that I had left a good part of good gospel music. Whether it's in your manners, it's in your preaching, it's in your grammar, it's in your literature, or it's in your music, this is off limits. And all of this over here is acceptable. I went to church the other night, and they sang, "All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all." That's over here. And I loved it. I loved it. And I went to Garvin Walls Church. And as they were changing the baby's diapers in the choir, they were singing a special. And they were wing-diddling it. And I patted my foot with the best of them. Because I can enjoy, number one, I can enjoy number two, and I'm going to preach against number three. So all we're trying to do in Hiles Anderson College is to enlarge and increase your sphere of enjoyment and enrichment, consequently increasing your sphere of opportunity of reaching people. You know what most Bible teaching is in most seminaries and colleges? Some theologian is trying to make other people theologians. And so he trains a bunch of young men to be theologians to go out and bore people like he's bored the class, except you can't give your people tests. I wish I could. And you can't give them demerits. You can't make them stay after school. And so these boys sit at the feet of these fellows over here who teach good theology, except they never go over here and break it down to where the people over here can understand it. And to go out of here and build churches with a handful of people that criticize churches like this. I've said this often. I'll close with this. Simplicity is the only vehicle that can transfer profundity. There is no way that you can use profundity to transfer profundity. That's what Jesus did. He took deep truths. Follow me carefully. Deep truths from number one and went over here in the number two area and talked about a lady lost coin. A sheep went off in the fold. A boy went off from home. A fellow went out in the field to sow. So he took this deep truth and put it over here on a simple vehicle and transported it. The hearts of people. I don't care who you are, you're not going to be as successful if you limit yourself to the best. You have got to encompass the good. I don't care who you are, you're going to limit yourself some if you limit yourself. Okay, for example, I was in a church recently and had a snob sitting on the second row. Snobs are always females. They may be males, but they're like females. Had his lady down as a snob. I was loading number one over here in number two's vehicle. And folks were having a time. And she was going. So I went over here and I said, as William Cullen Bryant said when he was 17 in his great poem, Thanatopsis,
so live that when thy summons comes, to join that innumerable caravan that sweeps to the endless portals of death, thou go not as the quarry slave at night, scourged to his dungeon, but sustained and soothed with an unfaltering trust, approach thy grave as one who wraps a drapery of his couch about him and lies down to pleasant dreams. And she, I picked her up on the way back, but I lost. I got one and lost 1,000, because 1,000 jumped off the cart when I got over to Thanatopsis. I know, because I was one of them. Shall we stand?